Burke.
May it please the Court. The District Court's order should be reversed because the shotgun was discovered in the course of a lawful search incident to arrest. The search met the automobile exception to the warrant requirement. And finally, because even if the actual search that took place in this case, the one that the District Court found to be unconstitutional, had not occurred, shortly after Mr. Edwards' arrest, the shotgun inevitably would have been found by lawful means for two separate reasons. And I would like to address those two separate reasons under the inevitable discovery doctrine first. As both officers at the evidentiary hearing testified, it is the practice of the Ashland Police Department to ensure that when a stolen vehicle is recovered...
It's kind of what I call an inventory-like argument on your part, that you concede that you didn't follow the usual inventory procedures, right?
We are not raising the inventory search on appeal. That's correct.
But you say the law enforcement agency has this other practice in addition to inventories, that when there's a stolen vehicle, they verify whose stuff is in the car before they release it back.
That's one of the things they do, yes, Your Honor.
So where is that justified if it's not a true inventory search?
It is not a true inventory search, and it's justified because it's purely reasonable. And you said, Your Honor, that one of the reasons is to segregate property, to identify what belongs to the alleged thief, what belongs to the presumed rightful owner.
So
and there's a second reason.
What authority do we have for that, that you can have something that's not really an inventory, but it's some procedure that serves some purpose?
There's a dearth of authority on this particular practice, and there's a reason for that. It is the rare case where a defendant is going to attempt to assert standing or a reasonable expectation of privacy for items discovered upon the return of a vehicle to the rightful owner. There is one case, however, that the government identified in the district court in the Southern District of Illinois, that's United States versus Watson, where the dynamics of this case are remarkably similar. In Watson, there was a search of a vehicle that the court found did not meet the requirements of Gantt, because Gantt, frankly, categorically excluded a search of a vehicle incident to arrest for a traffic offense, which is what the arrest was for in Watson. An inventory search was about to take place in Watson, and the inventory search was canceled at the defendant's request, and the officers agreed to move the vehicle a short distance to the defendant's grandmother's house. There was no written policy covering this, no written policy on the part of the local FBI, no written policy on behalf of the Illinois State Police, and yet Judge Steele in that case found that despite the absence of a written policy, it was an eminently reasonable procedure to simply search the vehicle for any dangerous items for officer safety reasons prior to getting into the vehicle and moving it the short distance. Similarly, in this case, there is no written policy on the part of the police department. But as both officers testified, they don't want to turn the vehicle over after it's been in their custody and just prior to that in the custody of an alleged thief if there is a danger to the civilian or future occupants who would get into that vehicle. As Officer Pufall testified, specifically what he was concerned about is if the vehicle were turned over and they had not checked it, then what could happen is that another person could get in, the driver, or the example that Officer Pufall gave, perhaps a child, could get a gun or a knife or drugs. Not only would somebody be hurt, but the department could be liable. And really, to look at, there really should not
have... It sounds like they ought to have two kinds of inventories. One, the full-blown inventory if they're going to keep the vehicle for a while, then the other, an abbreviated inventory. That would have procedures in place so that courts could evaluate it.
Well, and I would distinguish this from an inventory search for this reason, Your Honor. An inventory search is really a tension between two parties. You have the police department on one hand, you have the recent occupant of the vehicle on the other hand, and the reason for an inventory search typically is to protect the police department from claims of damage or theft. And that is the type of search which is susceptible to ruse on the part of police departments, which is the very reason the courts have imposed these strict requirements of written policy and relatively substantial compliance with that written policy. This type of search involves not just attention between two parties. It's not susceptible to ruse. There is a genuine...
How is it not?
Because what we have here, Your Honor, is a genuine non-investigative interest with a third party being involved. In this case, the presumed rightful owner, who is going to be getting into the vehicle. And we know that a search such as this, the safety-based search, and the property segregation-based search is not mere ruse, not only because of the testimony saying, well, look, we're going to check this for safety reasons before it's turned over to the rightful owner, but because we see that this is what actually took place in this case. After the incriminating items were located in the vehicle, the sawed-off shotgun, the drugs, and so forth, what actually did occur? There was nothing left from a criminal investigative angle to be done in the search of this vehicle, and yet they went and they retrieved Ms. Fernandez from her home. They went back to the vehicle, and Officer Green at that point went through the vehicle with Ms. Fernandez to identify what belonged to her and what belonged to Mr. Edwards. At this point, no investigative interest being pursued, merely property segregation, and inevitably had the search that that the district court found to be unconstitutional not occurred prior to that, the shotgun inevitably would have been discovered at that point.
I think the inevitable discovery aspect of this case introduces a lot of unnecessary complications. I'm interested in the issue of whether this is acceptable within the meaning of Gantt, because the offense of arrest was operating a stolen vehicle. So a search of the vehicle for evidence of ownership is always permissible in that situation, it seems to me, regardless of the subjective motivations of the searching officer.
I believe that's absolutely correct, Your Honor. It was the offense of arrest. There may be some discussion of ambiguity in the record, but it truly was the offense of arrest, whether that's subjectively or objectively true. There was vehicle theft, and a theft case always implicates ownership. A vehicle theft case always implicates ownership in which some of the best evidence of that ownership is found in the object of the theft itself, the vehicle. And so the finding of the district court to say, well, the investigation is essentially sewn up at this point. What more did you need on the issue of ownership was clearly incorrect. A vehicle theft case always implicates, and particularly in this case, implicated ownership interest.
When he found the shotgun, I think that officer, didn't he say that he was checking around this on ownership?
He did say that, Your Honor.
Now, is that really when the guy said he didn't own the car? And now the officer's looking for ownership, and he moves the seat forward, and that exposes the shotgun. That just seems like a strange way to look for the ownership of the car.
Yeah, and I have two responses to that. Because under Gantt, he, of course, can search the passenger area of the vehicle. Also, there was testimony that evidence of ownership is not always found in the glove compartment. It's not uncommon to find ownership documents sometimes strewn about the interior of the vehicle.
So when he said that when the defendant said that he, I guess it was Edward, said that he didn't have the ownership papers or something. And I don't know whether he looked in the glove compartment or whatever he did, but he admitted it. He didn't have them. The car didn't have a license plate on it and something else. I don't know what. But it just didn't seem there was a question of ownership at that point, especially when I don't know which officer actually knew the woman, now deceased, I guess.
Correct.
I didn't wonder. Was the one that found the gun, did he know this woman, or is it the other one?
Both officers were familiar with Ms. Fernandez, yes, Your Honor.
But she was a frequent something or other.
And they weren't necessarily familiar with that particular vehicle and knowing that, and I, if I may answer the question, the issue of what was the officer looking for after Mr. Edwards said, well, he couldn't find the any registration in the glove compartment, the position would be that this is not a statement that the officer had to take at face value. And while ownership was perhaps not the primary dynamic in this case, in terms of permission perhaps being a more prominent feature of the case, ownership is always implicated. And before that case could be submitted to a prosecuting authority, this murky issue of ownership at this point, which turned out to be quite murky, needed to be resolved prior to submitting this case to a prosecuting authority, and therefore the search was justified.
Thank you. Ms. Walsh.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. On behalf of Justin Edwards, I ask that the District Court's order in this case for suppression be affirmed for three reasons. First, I disagree with Judge Sykes' comment that Mr. Edwards was arrested for driving the Mitsubishi without owner's consent. The evidence establishes that Mr. Edwards was not arrested for that particular offense, nor was there probable cause to believe that he was committing the particular crime of driving that vehicle without Ms. Fernandez's permission. So the car could not have been searched looking for evidence relevant to that particular offense.
Well, I think the evidence established that she had called in a report that her car had been stolen, and this was the car, and the officers were familiar with her, if not the specific car, and Edwards, when pulled over, couldn't sufficiently answer how it is and why he came into possession of the car or whether he had permission to drive it. He was very equivocal about that. So they're investigating a stolen vehicle report.
What they're investigating, Your Honor, is a report by a woman who's well known to them not only because of her frequent contacts with the police, but well known to them because of her credibility problems and history of making false police reports, one most recently a month before her 911 call in this case. What he knows, what Sergeant Poufal knew from dispatch, was that this woman with credibility problems said that her boyfriend and she had just gotten into an argument and that he was driving away in her car. She described the car and that it had no license plates on it. When Sergeant Poufal stopped the car, he frankly told Mr. Edwards that he pulled him over because the car did not have license plates, which is obviously a stoppable traffic offense. And I disagree that Mr. Edwards was equivocal about whether or not...
He said, I do and I don't.
He said, I
when
do and I...
When he's asked if he has permission to drive the car. That's pretty equivocal. That's like asking a question of a lawyer here. We get answers that kind of go both ways.
But that leaves off the very important, I think, and telling second half of Mr. Edwards' question. Not only when he was asked whose car did the car belong to, he admitted that it was his girlfriend's. That corroborates Ms. Fernandez's claim that she was the owner. But it not only left off the part where Sergeant Poufal wasn't even clear what he meant by that, asked him, what do you mean? And he said, well, you can see I have no license. The car has no license plates. So he wasn't admitting in any way that he was driving the car without Ms. Fernandez's consent. Rather, he was admitting that I don't have legal permission to be driving the car because there's no plates on it, and I don't have a driver's license, and I don't have proper registration.
So you say, but I don't know that an officer on the scene has to construe it that way.
No, but I think given what Sergeant Poufal knows of this particular couple, that they have a history of police involvement, Sergeant Poufal immediately... After Mr. Edwards' admission that, I do and I don't have permission because the car doesn't have license plates, Sergeant Poufal's immediate response was, right, that's why I pulled you over. So in the heat of the exchange, in the spontaneity of the exchange, I think Sergeant Poufal's response to him was telling in that, yeah, I pulled you over because you didn't have license plates. That was a basis.
It doesn't matter why he pulled him over. He arrested him for operating
a stolen vehicle, because that was what this investigation was for. The standard is an objective one. It seems to me the flaw in the lower court's analysis of this and your position is that there's a great deal of emphasis on subjective motivations of the officers for doing what he did in each step of the investigation, and that's not the test. This is all objective, and there's plenty of objective support for a stolen vehicle investigation, a stolen vehicle arrest, and a search for that crime, evidence of that crime, which includes evidence of who actually owns the car.
Even if there was probable cause to believe that the car was stolen or that he was arrested for that crime, which I don't think the record supports, I think the objective evidence in the record establishes quite the contrary. While the police reports indicate that that the reason for the call and the reason for this investigative stop, in addition to the car being driven without license plates, was based on Ms. Fernandez's call that Mr. Edwards was driving without permission, the further evidence in the police reports demonstrates that they listed not in one of eight specific charges that he was driving without her permission or that he had stolen the car. And what we are talking about in this case is...
It kind of gets overtaken once they find that gun. It's pretty small bananas after they find that gun.
Sure, but in order for them to get into the car in the first instance, even if he was arrested for that offense or even if there was probable cause to believe he was committing that specific offense, going through the car in the way that he did, he has to reasonably believe that evidence related to that specific crime would be found inside. And what we're not talking about is this case doesn't involve ownership. Question of ownership is not at issue. Ms. Fernandez said that she was the owner in her 911 call. Mr. Edwards admitted he was the owner in the 911 call, and there was no objective evidence for the officer to believe otherwise.
Concrete evidence of ownership is always relevant to an operating without consent arrest and charge.
There's a non-intrusive.
The officers are entitled to get concrete evidence of that. They don't have to accept either the word of the caller or the word of the suspect for who actually owns the vehicle. They're entitled to look for title.
And in New York versus Class, Your Honor, there's a procedure that the police can use, running the vehicle identification number, as the magistrate judge noted. That is the most
sure, but
affirmative
they don't have
proof.
To. They don't have to use the least intrusive method in trying to acquire probable cause. Are you saying they have to take the least intrusive technique or use the least intrusive technique?
What I'm saying in this particular case, evidence. He didn't need to corroborate evidence of ownership because that would not add anything to the analysis as to whether or not he was driving.
The standard is not whether he needed to corroborate anything. It's just whether it's objectively reasonable to search for it, and it's plainly objectively reasonable to search for it when the offense of arrest is operating without consent. Yeah,
if evidence of ownership is at issue, Your Honor, but Sergeant Kufel
had are you saying that the police have to stop a line of investigation when they have probable cause?
No.
So why can't they try to bolster what they've already got?
Before he opened the car and searched it in the way that he did, including going through the clothes, bags, and pouches, he already had enough evidence at his disposal to meet that part of Wisconsin statute as to ownership.
That doesn't matter.
The second half of the inquiry is without permission. It's not just there has to be evidence, objective evidence, that not only did he have the car, but he was driving it without her permission. And evidence of permission, this intangible thing, is not going to be found in the car.
Evidence of ownership will be. And you know, the fact that there was some evidence of ownership at the time does not preclude the officer from searching for additional evidence of ownership to verify what he's been told verbally.
There's probably a Wisconsin law that requires the registration to be in the car.
There is, Your Honor, I believe, yes.
So it's probably going to be in the car? Should be in the car?
You would hope it would be in the car.
I'm looking for a finding by the magistrate judge that the police knew Fernandez to be unreliable.
That isn't in the record, Your Honor.
I'm finding that, yeah.
There are reasons
that they might have wondered about her reliability, but I'm not finding that the judge found that they knew she was unreliable.
I don't recall, Your Honor, if the judge made that specific finding, but Sergeant Pufall testified himself that she was known to have a history of making false police reports to the Ashland Police Department, and that the most recent one came 1 month before her 911 call in this case. Okay. And that case involved a hit-and-run involving Mr. Edwards, where she claimed that someone else was driving the car when, in fact, it was Mr. Edwards.
So once the police get false information from a person, they can no longer rely on anything that person tells them?
No, I don't think that's the position I'm taking, Your Honor. What makes it, once they have information that someone is unreliable or has been unreliable in the past, the police should take additional affirmative steps to corroborate her report.
They should look further for things like for ownership and out whether he had permission to drive the car.
But the gravamen of her complaint was that Mr. Edwards had taken the car without her permission. So what is really relevant and what the evidence that could not be expected to be found in the car pertains to permission. It does not pertain to ownership. At that point, there was really no question as to ownership, and they should not have been able to search the car.
I think the offense is operating without owner's consent.
It is.
So they need to know who the owner is.
And they knew that information.
But they had it verbally from her and verbally from him, but they didn't have actual concrete evidence of ownership, which is always that issue.
There are no other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Burke, anything further?
Your Honor, I have nothing further unless there are any questions for me in response to Ms. Welsh. The government would rest on its brief and argument.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.